Thanks for listening in. This is Agriculture Today from the campus of Kansas State University. Well, the grain markets have pretty much finished up digesting last week's USDA grain supply and demand report, but we want some follow-up thoughts on the market's response now, as we'll visit with Dan O'Brien once again about the grain price trends. Dan is a grain market economist, K-State Research and Extension. If anything was really of lingering influence on the markets from that report, Dan, it might be that the volume of South American crops tended to be above expectations that were expressed going into the report.
That's especially true for soybeans. Brazil soybeans were reported by the USDA to be to have a crop this year of 114 million metric tons. The top end expectation coming into that report was about 113 and a little bit higher. Argentine soybeans came in at about 57.8, just under the very top end of the pre-report trading range of about 58.2. Anyway, large supplies there. Even their corn crops in those two countries are, again, they weren't over the top end of the trading range, but particularly for Brazil, towards the top, about 97 million metric tons, 98 being the top end of that expectation range coming into that report. So, again, those are not entirely harvested all of their second crops, but they're far enough along to where those numbers are pretty indicative of anything but a short crop from the southern hemisphere. And, of course, Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay to some degree being the main competitors we have in world export markets for these same two crops, with a few others on the edges, particularly, again, out of the Black Sea region. Well, all that in hand, we're not looking at short crops in the world market in 2017 unless they come from our shores, you know. So the impact of that has left us with prices that have been pretty much moving sideways. We have had some excitement of late, some things to consider. Again, look at corn futures. Basically, since about March 15th, we traded from a low of about 360 to 362 up to highs of about 392, 395, something like that. Closed yesterday at 379.5, and really are just kind of waiting for news. You know, we've got kind of disparate weather reports, worries about where the market's going, questions about dry conditions in the northern plains area, too wet, often other parts of the country. So we're trying to digest and understand where weather conditions might be taking us for corn production. I think there's a general consensus that we've had enough things challenging this crop in terms of late plantings in the western corn belt, again, too wet off in the east, again, and the dry conditions in the Dakotas, that, you know, we may be looking at a yield somewhere below 170. A trend line yield from a long-term trend would be about 167, and that would be like the third or fourth highest in history. So anyway, we've got markets that have paid attention to some of the issues that are out there, but you can't say that we've had any major rally off of this. We've gained 20, 30 cents one way or the other, but nothing really above $4 for upfront futures that would be indicative of, you know, a surety of concerns.
Now, over in the wheat complex, Dan, we continue to see signs of stability and perhaps even very modest bullishness.
We have seen, at least from a seller's point of view, a welcome uptrend. We had gotten down about April 15th or 20th down to near 410, 412, something like that. Then in short order, jumped up to about 475, went down again. Now, in recent week or so, have jumped back up to about 465 and a quarter. So we're sitting at that, and harvest is coming on. And really, I would guess, Eric, that if we did not have concerns about where the hard red spring wheat crop was going up in the Dakotas with these dry conditions, I would wonder where overall Kansas City hard red wheat futures would be at. But I guess we'll take the strength that we have, relative strength that we have in these markets, as some of the narrowing of basis has happened, and at least for now, and as we come off into harvest, really, I think if I've heard anything from around the state, it's, again, concerns about what our protein levels would be, particularly in the central part of the state where we've had good amount of rain, some wet soils. I think we'll be watching for that. And we'll, of course, be watching all over the state to see what those reports are.
And how are you reading the soybean trade right now?
For soybeans, again, these large South American crops, I think, have put kind of a dull pallor on the market, kept the market prices from moving too high. Going all the way back to last August, we had lows at about 940 or just marginally above. Well, here, end of May, first couple weeks in June now, we've traded below that, got down to about 910, jumped back up on some concerns up to about 940, 942, closed yesterday about 934 and three quarters. Again, a market that could change yet, but right now with moisture generally around and, yes, a smattering of crop problems around there, you have a market that's worried but moving sideways, I guess. Mm-hmm. I would also add in, I think the next bit of major news in these markets would be the end of June acreage report. That'll answer some questions. It'll answer the question, I think, of what type of corn acreage we have. Did these late planting issues, wet planting, replanting challenges lead to 1 or 2 million acres less of corn? And did that push acres over into soybeans or not to about the same degree in quantity? And also, in some of the wettest of areas down in Arkansas, et cetera, Mississippi River, southeast U.S. area, have we been so wet that we just aren't going to see any of those major crops planted for some proportion of those acres? Mm-hmm. So we've got a number of these issues to be dealt with. Probably, again, the next USDA hard number will be that end of June acreage report, and then of course I will be watching for whatever weather forecast would come in and lead the market into any type of crop weather risk concerns or not, and we'll be watching where we go from there.
As you are wont to do, following each month's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report, you put together once again your latest price probability projections based on those supply and demand numbers. And we'll look at corn. Have those projections changed much this month from last month, Dad?
Not a lot. I think that the USDA generally is assuming a scenario of no crop weather risk, of no appreciable crop weather risk, of yields about 170 to 171 bushels per acre, planted acres of just under 90 million, prices next year just about the same as we had this year, about $3.40. Generally, my thoughts are that those planted acreage numbers are a little bit high by the tune of a million to 1.5 million acres, and that we've had enough of an accumulation of problems that corn yields probably about a 50% chance that we're closer to 165 or 167 bushels per acre given the problems we've had rather than the 170. With those, you're still looking at 13.5 to 13.4 billion bushels. You would have ending stocks in those scenarios closer to 1.5, 1.6, 1.7 billion bushels instead of the 2.1 the USDA has. Stocks to use, 11 to 11.5%. And instead of 340 prices, something akin to about 395 to 410, again, 50, 60, 70 cents higher than what the USDA is projecting at this time. And there still is an outside chance, I'd peg it at about 1 in 10, that we could turn surprisingly dry, some set of conditions come in and affect the crop, and yeah, you end up with a markedly lower yield, 150 bushels, 12 billion bushel corn crop, and in that situation, then you break below 10% stocks to use, you're down about a 900 million bushel ending stocks, and prices closer to 6. But like I say, that's about a 1 in 10 chance right now.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at wheat, it's the same notation, basically?
Pretty much. Although we're a lot closer to harvest and have a more surety of what our final outcome is for the hard red and soft red winter wheat crops anyway. Again, the USDA is projecting for a U.S. yield about 47.3 bushels per acre. Would not be surprised if we're closer to 46.5, something like that. Probably about a 40% chance of that. 50% chance that the USDA is right on, but about 40% chance that the yields are a little bit lower than they're projecting. They're harvested to planted acreage projections about 83.7%, and we've had enough disease issues and excess moisture, et cetera. I think more of a long-term average, about 82.5, would fit. You run through all those numbers, you end up with, instead of this 1.824 billion bushel projection, something closer to 1.76, thereabouts. Ending stocks, instead of 924, like the USDA is projecting, closer to 856 million bushels. Probably about a 70% chance that, gosh, what the USDA is thinking is just about right, but the risk of these shorter crop scenarios here and abroad still are at play in the market. If that comes into play, you would wonder about what type of a price increase we'd see in the wheat market.
Well, all of that on Dan's latest price probability projections for corn and wheat is captured in the notes that he's put together on the agmanager.info website for your review, producers. So have a look at agmanager.info. And Dan, we'll get together again next Friday. Many thanks to you.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
His weekly input on the grain markets and what's driving those trends. Dan O'Brien is a grain market economist, K-State Research and Extension, from his office in Colby, Northwest Kansas. Agriculture Today continues after this. You're listening to the K-State Radio Network.